Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight.
Seriously debating whether or not to start talking or not, or just let that song continue to play for as long as it wanted. Absolutely heavenly, and you know, the music of Christmas, we should and could listen to it all year long. Unfortunately, we don't. We typically listen to Christmas music in November and certainly December, and that's it, and we break it out once a year. It's always applicable, but at this time of year, it just means that much more. And that was truly just, I say again, the voice of an angel. Beautiful rendition of that particular song here on the Political Cesspool. Our last show before Christmas, but not our last of the year. We'll be back one more time in 2012. Next week, December 29th, when we will feature Winston Smith's annual recounting of the top 10 most hateful stories of 2012. And then I will present to you the top 10 biggest moments for the political cesspool in the year that was, and we will also look forward to the year to come in 2013, what we have in mind, planned for you next year. Of course, it all depends and hinges upon your support. If you have not yet contributed to the TPC's fourth quarter fundraising drive, you can do so tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'd certainly appreciate it. Keith, last week, you know, it's a busy time of year for all of us with Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving. My wife's birthday is sandwiched in between all of that, and it was actually last Saturday. I had to leave the studio a little bit early to go and join her for the party. And you and Sam, I very rarely listen to the show if I'm on it, but I really enjoy the show when I'm not. And so I came home on Sunday last week and listened to the archive of the third hour, during which you and Sam filled in for me and more than capably filled my shoes. And the topic of the hour, for the most part, and it was great radio, folks, was the shooting in Connecticut. And it had been a fairly new occurrence at that time. More facts have come to light since then on the what happened in Sandy Hook. Pat Buchanan, as he so often does, hit the nail on the head more than any other mainstream media commentator. You need to read Pat Buchanan's latest column, The Dead Soul of Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza was, of course, the shooter there in Connecticut. And Pat just basically tells you how and why it occurred. Three things, Keith. Number one, it's not guns. Guns had nothing to do with the shooting. Well, perhaps the lack of guns did. If there had been armed teachers or an armed principal at that school, many lives would have inevitably have been saved. But it wasn't because this guy had access to a gun. Connecticut has the most stringent gun control laws in the country, and it didn't stop him. This kid was drugged up. You know, that's the answer to everything. You put him on mind-altering drugs. Never before have we had such a drugged-up society. If a kid's hyper, you put him on drugs. If a kid's depressed, you put him on drugs. If a kid's unhappy, you put him on drugs. That's the answer to everything, and you get these sorts of situations. Number two, he was an outcast. And this was his quick ticket to fame. Everyone would know his name after this, for better or for worse. He would be known, and that certainly, I believe, played a part into this. And of course, thirdly, he knew he was going to a place that was unarmed and undefended. Those are the three things that had to do with it: drugs, bullying, and the fact that Sandy Hook Elementary would meet no resistance there. That's why this shooting occurred. My dad was born in 1954. When he was in the seventh grade, which would have been in the mid to late 60s, Keith, he took a shotgun to school for show and tell. I was talking to my dad this week about what happened in Connecticut, and he relayed the story to me. And he had told me this before, but he told me it again. When he was in the seventh grade, he took a shotgun to school, walked in, and did a show and tell on it. Nobody batted an eye. They thought it was great. You know, it wasn't an issue. Can you imagine that now? It's not the fact that guns are doing these things. It's that people aren't proficient in the use of guns, and there aren't enough of them out in general circulation, in the right hands at least.
Well, I'm reminded of the scene in the movie Shane, in which Alan Ladd playing Shane is showing little Joey, played by Brandon DeWilde, how to use a gun because Joey has asked him to teach him how to shoot. And as he's doing this, Joey's mother, Marion, played by Jean Arthur, comes up and says, "I don't want guns to be part of my son's future." And Alan Ladd, as Shane, turns to her and says, "A gun is a tool, Marion, no different from an axe or a shovel or anything. A gun is no better or no worse than the man using it. Remember that." That is the final word on gun control, okay? Well, not quite the final word. Let me say this. There is a supreme difference between the reaction that one of these episodes like Sandy Hook gets in Blue State America, which is where Sandy Hook was, and Red State America, where they had a similar incident, the Westlake Junior High School incident in Jonesboro, Arkansas. In Sandy Hook, they focus on the weapon. The weapon is bad, but the weapon didn't pull the trigger. The weapon never does pull the trigger. It takes a human to do that. When it comes to one of these incidents in Red State America, they focus on the shooter, not the gun. Now, think about this. The gun itself is protected. We have, there is an article in the liberal-run Commercial Appeal, the daily newspaper in Memphis, Tennessee, from Tuesday, December the 18th, 2012, and the cartoon on the editorial page shows a door with two evergreen plants on either side, and on the side it says NRA, and above the portal it says "on their doorstep," and on the doorstep are a number of newspapers. One says Virginia Tech, the other says Connecticut School Tragedy, the other says Gifford Shores, the other Aurora Horror, that's Aurora, Colorado, the other one Fort Hood. Well, I have a modest proposal to change this according to the sensibilities of Red State America. Rather than saying NRA next to the door, it should say ACLU, because we focus not on the instrumentality, the weapon, but on the actor, the human being. And all of the human beings that were involved in these shootings had one thing in common. One, they were nutcases, nutsoid, as we used to say. And furthermore, they were on psychotropic drugs. And were it not for the ACLU, these people would have been under lock and key at the state mental hospital the way they used to be until the ACLU got them all freed.
More on this story from Keith right when we come back. Stay tuned. Don't let me be misunderstood. Please understand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the Freeze-Dry Guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House Survival Buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House Survival Buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your
baby? Welcome back to the show, everyone. What a great, great song. Sam Bushman was telling me during the break that the song coming up was his favorite all-time Christmas song, and I couldn't remember exactly the order of the songs that I had selected for play tonight. And then when I heard that one, I understood it completely. And I'll tell Sam this, and everyone else for that matter. When I was 17 years old, that was about 15 years ago now, I actually sang that I did a solo of that song in my church's Christmas program. So yes, I was a choir boy, and I sang Mary, Did You Know? And I can remember it very vividly, even to this day. Little did I know then, as a 17-year-old lad, Keith, singing that song, what the future would hold for me, and that I would be here now doing this. But still listening to that song and still remembering the night well. My mom and I were in the choir together, actually, at that time. And it was, great memories, great time in my life. But it was all still ahead of me. But getting back to the Connecticut school shooting, Keith, and the war on guns that has been renewed, you know, the left's never going to miss the chance to exploit a tragedy for their benefit. And it brings into stark contrast the reaction coming from red state and blue state America. The governor of Connecticut is exploiting the horror by calling for more gun control laws, which we know is silly, because when you outlaw guns, as you said last week, Keith, only outlaws will have guns. Meanwhile, a Republican U.S. representative in Texas made the case on Sunday that the answer to preventing such massacres in the future is for more Americans to be armed and proficient with gun use. And I agree with him, certainly.
In Red State America, the solution is for everybody to have a concealed carry permit that deserves one, and then they'd make short work of somebody like this shooter. That's the answer. And furthermore, the left will run up against the Second Amendment. You know, I was reading to you from the viewpoint section of the Memphis Commercial Appeal, page 6A, Tuesday, December 18th, 2012 edition, commenting on their editorial cartoon. And then underneath it is a timely article by that stalwart of the left, E.J. Dion, nationally syndicated columnist. And he says, if Congress does not act this time, we can deem it as totally bought and paid for by the representatives of gun manufacturers, gun dealers, and their very well compensated apologists. You know, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. The left has more advocacy and lobbying groups than any conservative organization could ever hope to have. In fact, that's the main problem, because they're funded by Jewish money, which seems to be limitless. They can, you know, it's a golden rule. He who has gold makes a rule, and the Jews have the gold, and the Jews are the liberals, unfortunately. Now, let's think about what the real proper analysis is. The Constitution has in it a Second Amendment that gives us an unconditional right to bear arms. Bear means to not only own them, but to have them on us. Now, how does the left deal with the Constitution, which is supposedly the ultimate law of the land? You can't restrict the right to gun use and gun ownership according to the proper and common sense reading of the Second Amendment. Why was the Second Amendment enacted by the founding fathers in their wisdom? It was not to preserve the inviolate right of deer hunting or duck hunting. It was to give people a way to effectively rise up against a tyrannical government. And when people say, as a put down or as a final argument, they think that these are military style weapons like an AR-15. Well, an AR-15 is semi-automatic. You have to pull the trigger to make it fire for every shot. Then the military has automatic weapons. You just pull it back and it empties the magazine or the cartridge box. So it is not a military style weapon. And it's exactly the type of weapon that the founding fathers had in mind that you would need to have access to in order to match the firepower of the military. Now, when the left wants to change society, they invoke the Constitution just like Felix Frankfurter and his minions did in the Brown versus Board of Education decision, and the rest of us are supposed to fall in line. But when the Constitution cuts against liberal change, as it does in this instance, when the Second Amendment prevents the liberals from controlling your right to own and bear arms, which is what the left wants, well, then suddenly the Constitution becomes no impediment whatsoever. Just dispense with it. You know, common sense rules, and common sense is whatever liberals say it is. America needs, this whole episode just points to the crying need in America for us to be at least two countries. We just don't think alike. One of us is going to be denied the right of self-determination. Either blue state America will be denied or red state America will be denied unless there is secession.
In the meantime, Keith, on your television set, on MSNBC no less, Terry Belafonte, the singer, wants Obama to jail all Republicans. He wants him to work, and this is his words, work like a third world dictator and jail his opposition. On Wednesday on the Al Sharpton show, no less, see, Al Sharpton gets a show on television. We're not worthy of it anymore. Singer Harry Belafonte offered some advice for Barack Obama while speaking with MSNBC's Al Sharpton. In his view, the president should rule like a third world dictator and throw the GOP in jail for opposing him. This was a direct quote from Belafonte. That there should be this lingering infestation of really corrupt people who sit trying to dismantle the wishes of the people. The mandate that has been given to Barack Obama
And I don't know what more they want. The only thing left is for Obama to work like a third world dictator and just put these guys in jail. So it's interesting, Keith, that Republicans who were elected to office to stop Obama's reckless policies are an infestation. The word choice itself is interesting, since one normally deals with an infestation by eliminating it. And by the way, since when did winning 50% of the vote, which is what Obama did, become a mandate? And would this be deemed as hate speech if I had said something of the sort on one of my appearances on television, rather than Belafonte? And to another question for you, Keith, in the 10 seconds you'll have to answer, is Belafonte better off being here in America, being a millionaire, being a celebrity, being able to go on these television shows as a result of the career that this white society gave him? Would he be better off in Africa running around half-naked chucking spears, or is he the beneficiary of America rather than the victim of it, as he would claim?
Well, the real infestation is the infestation of third worlders that has been brought about by leftist agitation and lobbying and laws like the 65 Immigration Act and the refusal to enforce our laws that are already on the books regarding the border and entry into this nation. That's the infestation. And it's absolutely absurd to say that the founding stock of America has infested this nation. We're the ones who founded the nation. It's been infested by others like Harry Belafonte ever since then, and that's where the problem lies.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this, but there you have it. Put them in jail, so he says. Free pass, he's not on the hate watch list. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Second favorite Christmas carol of all time, "O Holy Night." That was a rendition performed by Celtic Woman, Keith, who I know you are not almost as good as "Oh What a Night" by Frankie Valli, but you know. No, seriously, that is a magnificent rendition by a Celtic Woman. I've saved my very favorite. Now, this is just personal preference, but my very favorite Christmas song is coming up next. I've saved the best for last, as far as I'm concerned, and you'll hear it at the top of the next segment. Every single thing in my life is built around race. Well, that's not a quote from me, Keith. That's not something that I say or you. That's what Jamie Foxx said, and I'll repeat it. Every single thing in my life is built around race. That comes from Jamie Foxx, the star of the new movie coming out on Christmas Day, the Django Unchained. He plays the role of Django. He's not on the hate watch list, by the way, for saying that. In fact, he's celebrated. He's not even on the hate watch list for his performance on Saturday Night Live, where he said that killing all white people is a great thing. How great is that? He said to the all-white cheering audience. We talked about that last week. But he said this week in a follow-up interview that everything in his life is built around race. Now, if I said that, it'd be the SPLC and ADL's top headline within an hour. The story reads, Oscar-winning actor, he's an Oscar winner, by the way, Keith, Jamie Foxx snubbed this week during the Golden Globe nominations for his leading role in the upcoming slavery-era revenge fantasy Django Unchained, says, quote, every single thing in my life is built around race. When I get home after work, meaning acting, my homies are like, how was your day? Well, I only had to be white for 8 hours today. Meaning he only had to act like a civilized person while he was on the set. Everything we do is like that, Jamie Foxx said. When you're talking about the script, of course, it's going to be controversy. As black folks, we're always sensitive. As a black person, it's always racial to us. If I come into a movie set and they've got Ritz crackers and wine and cheese, I'll be like, ain't this a expletive? Y'all didn't know black people was coming? What's with all this white expletive? By the same token, if there's fried chicken and watermelon, I'll say, ain't this an expletive? So no matter what we do as black people, it's always going to be that. Every single thing in my life is built around race. I don't necessarily speak it because I can't, he says. So a few days ago, Jamie Foxx says how great it was that he got to kill all the white people in the movie during a guest hosting stint on Saturday Night Live. Now he's admitting, Keith, what we have said on this show for so many years. Blacks have a chip on their shoulder. No matter what you do, no matter what you say or how you treat them, they are the victims of racism. If Jamie Foxx walks into a set and he's treated to a green room full of wine and cheese and crackers, he says, that's racist. You shouldn't feed me that. That's white people's food. If he walks into a set and you feed him chicken and watermelon, he says, that's racist. You know, that's a stereotype. Everything you do is racist as far as he's concerned. No matter what you do, you're a racist. And he is the victim of it, despite the fact that he's an Oscar-winning multimillionaire.
Yeah, if he's a victim, where do I sign up to get my fair share of oppression? This guy was plucked out of total obscurity. He's a no-talent bum, just like the guy that made this movie, Quentin Tarantino, who's also a psychopath to boot. And apparently what he's telling you is that as a white person, there's nothing you can do that would be unobjectionable to him. You give him wine and cheese, that's racist. You give him watermelon and fried chicken, that's racist. If you gave him anything, you can vary the menu all you want. It's still going to be objectionable. He's still going to find some reason to castigate you. And this is what we said. This is what the Obama election proves, that all non-whites bear an unalterable grudge against the white race. This is what both Trotsky and the cultural Marxists discovered at about the same moment in time in the 1930s, that every non-white racial group sees reality through the prism of race, and they all bury the hatchet regarding their own disputes with one another in order to go against a hated white man. This is what my son, who was in Central America, told me regarding the election of Barack Obama back in November. He said that all of the natives there, all of the people of Central America, were jubilant at the defeat of the white man by the non-white man. And when he pointed out that they profess to be very serious Christians, they're either fundamentalists or Roman Catholics, he pointed out that Obama and the Democrats are big supporters of homosexuality and gay rights. Two, that they're for abortion. And three, that they've removed all mention of God from the platform. None of that made any difference. Jamie Foxx is putting an exclamation point on that same observation. It's just like the 1992 election was about, it's the economy stupid. The 2012 election was, it's race stupid. When are white people going to figure that out? Now, Quentin Tarantino, he is much worse than Jamie Foxx. Quentin Tarantino is a psychopath, and every one of his movies models the killing of white Gentiles by non-whites. Go back to Pulp Fiction. You see the white kid who gets behind to his drug dealer getting wasted. That was intentional modeling of the behavior that Quentin Tarantino would like to see happening in day-to-day life here in America. Just like Django Unchained, mowing down and killing white people, Inglourious Bastards, where Jewish heroes are up here sculling white Gentiles with a baseball bat. They're called Nazis in that movie. See, everything that Quentin Tarantino does is hate, but the hate group list people at the Southern Poverty Law Center would never put him on the hate list. He's on the love boat. So is Al Sharpton. So is Harry Belafonte. So are all of these haters. Hatred is love. Love is hate. That's the Orwellian world of today's left.
Oh, I love that, Keith. I don't even know where I can go after that. I know you've got something else you want to cover with regards to an organization here in Memphis, and we want to be sure to work that in. So I'm going to turn it over to you. You said it all, man. I mean, why even toss the mic back my way?
Okay. Well, we are doing our Behind Enemy Lines segment, the commercial appeal, the Memphis Daily Newspaper, Friday, December the 21st, in the Community News My Life section, has an article on bridge builders. Bridge builders hones leadership. No, it doesn't. It hones liberalism. See, the left doesn't want a fair and unbiased debate to go on about the future of America and what path America needs to follow in the future. They try to load the dice. They try to tip the scales. They try to jerry-rig the results. And they do it with groups like Bridge Builders. Bridge Builders has been working with young people in Memphis for 90 years. Today, Bridges, with its Bridge Builders program, inspires thousands of diverse youth from different socioeconomic backgrounds throughout the Mid-South each year helping them appreciate differences. No, they don't. They allow black people from supposedly disadvantaged backgrounds to think well of themselves, and they make white kids from more prosperous backgrounds feel bad about themselves and guilty and more inclined to turn over the reins of power to blacks and other non-whites. That's the whole purpose of this. And what they're looking for, it's basically a vetting process. They have this young girl here, and good night. Look, she looks like trouble. Anybody that marries her is headed for divorce court within 5 years, I guarantee you. Central High senior Flannery Harper has been involved with Bridges since eighth grade. She's now part of the Bridge Builders Change, a group of 12 highly regarded, highly engaged, dedicated young people. Okay, she's going to be the new leader, this over-the-top liberal. Conservatives are outed, vetted, and marginalized. That's what it's all about. They do it everywhere.
And we'll pick up on that right after these words. Our final segment before Christmas, right after this. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you
you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea.
As far as James Edwards is concerned, it just does not get any better than that song when it comes to Christmas music. I love it so much, in fact, that I featured it as a blog posting in its own right at thepoliticalcesspool.org a couple of weeks ago. Do you hear what I hear? Are you hearing us tonight on the radio? The Political Cesspool. Keith, we're going to end the show on a lighter note, focusing on the true meaning of the glory of Christmas. But first, a final word or two for you from the Political Cesspool and the article you were just digging into in the last segment.
It's on a group called Bridge Builders, which is like the junior auxiliary, like the demolay to the Masons. The Masons would be the Leadership Memphis, Leadership Germantown, Leadership Cucamonga, whatnot. These groups supposedly foster leadership skills, but what they really foster is liberalism. Leader equals liberal, non-liberal equals non-leader in their viewpoint, and they do their best to make sure that conservative voices are silenced and have no part in the public debate or in the government of their locality. And as a result, Memphis is quickly going to hell in a handbasket with the help of groups like Bridge Builders and Leadership Memphis. Now, they have a picture of this little girl who looks like she's never put on a piece of makeup or a drop of makeup. She's got Heidi-type pigtails. She's wearing glasses. And she is obviously a liberal true believer, an over-the-top liberal. That's why she is in this elite cadre in the Bridge Builders program. That's what she has accomplished. That's what Bridge Builders is trying to do, identify the real over-the-top liberals so they can be promoted into positions of authority and power. If a conservative shows up, he's blacklisted. He is cast into the outer darkness. They do not want to have a free and fair public debate on the issues between liberals and conservatives, because they know if they did that, they would lose. It's that simple, people. That's what groups like Bridge Builders, Leadership Memphis, and all these other so-called leadership groups are all about. So just beware. Realize that the deck is stacked. We're playing against a stacked deck. This is how they stack the deck. I guarantee you that I'd like to find out from Flannery Harper who the conservative voices are in her little bull sessions up there at Bridge Builders. I guarantee you there's no authentic conservative anywhere to be found.
Keith, everything you say is true. It always is. And thank the good Lord we have 364 days out of the year to stand on the front lines and fight this righteous battle in the culture war. We have one day during which we lay down our swords and allow ourselves to reflect on the beauty and majesty of this special and spiritual season. That one day is December 25th. It is Christmas. It is Tuesday this year. The battle will begin anew in the coming month, but on Christmas, I encourage you to go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and watch the video that will be featured on Christmas Day. Watch it in its entirety and let the words speak to your soul and stir your spirit. It'll be impossible for the voices that you hear to sound any more heavenly than they do in the video we'll be having for you on December 25th at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And always remember that we're here everything we do on the radio is to protect and preserve a culture and faith that has given light to a dark world. And it's our duty to ensure that that flame is never extinguished. And one thing that I've been doing in recent years on the show, the last show before Christmas, is sharing with you a reading of the biblical accounting of the Christmas story as found in the book of Luke, chapter 2 of the King James Version Bible, which is the Bible of choice for yours truly. And this comes from Luke chapter 2. And I'd read it for you now if you would so indulge me. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And it just goes to show, Keith, that not much has changed in the last 2012 years. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told to them concerning this child. And all that they heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Well, that, my friends, is the Christmas story as it is told in the Bible. And with that being said, as this broadcast comes to a close, I say again to you and to yours, the very warmest of Christmas wishes from the host and staff of the Political Cesspool Radio program. We look forward to remaining at your service in 2013 and beyond, and we hope that you will remember us this Christmas season as well. And Keith, just reading that story might be the most hateful thing I've done all year, according to our detractors at the ADL and SPLC.
Absolutely. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, as it says in the Bible, and that's what we intend to do here. We're taking a brief hiatus for 6 days and 21 hours. We'll be back broadcasting the truth, and we want everyone that is a fan of this show to realize that we truly do love you and wish you to prosper and succeed in life. And we know that the powers that be in this world, the powers of darkness that rule, want just the opposite for you. You're our family. We're your family. Let's hang together and let's continue to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look to Him for guidance. Look to Him for the standards, and realize that evil ultimately will not triumph and prevail.
Well said, my friend. And Keith, you know, and this goes out to Eddie and Bill and Winston and Sam and the rest of the staff and crew. I love you, brother, and Merry Christmas to you, my friend, as well as to the audience. Reflect and ponder and keep these things in your heart as Mary once did so many years ago. It's a very special time, very spiritual time for our people and for our culture. And I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm glad to be able to play a role that advances it here on the AM and FM radio airwaves. We've been given a great opportunity, and it's an opportunity that we seek to make the most of. Right, Keith?
Right. We live in a time, as the Bible proclaimed, in which good is proclaimed evil and evil is proclaimed good. We are the good people. You are the good people. Let's keep that in mind. Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous new year to each and every one of you from us here at the Political Cesspool.
We'll see you next week, everybody. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Merry Christmas.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.